Jones
and Mike, real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey playing, city living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say
about family,
women,
philosophy,
politics,
history,
people,
money,
pop culture,
kids,
fighting,
business,
life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, we delve into the dark recesses of the human psyche.
What's Jones's gender?
Who's weirder, horse people or cat people?
And why do we play April Fool's jokes?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike, where we share things about ourselves that probably we shouldn't. Some people have told me that, hey, it's a bad idea to be saying some of that stuff. Maybe you should take that stuff off of that show. Or, you know, I even had somebody recently say, you know, your new employers, they may not like some of the things you say on your Facebook page. And I'm like, what do I say? I want people to live. I'm anti-war. Like, what? Hey, why is that controversial? But this was like an uber liberal person. So she was automatically thinking, like, your new bosses, they're going to be liberal and they're not going to want to see some of your anti-liberal things. And I'm like, butt out. You should stop following me. Stop listening.
What was your anti-liberal thing? What was your most anti-liberal message?
Yeah, I don't know. If I criticize a Bernie Sanders or a Hillary Clinton or whatever, and I think they're pretty criticizable. I think all of these people are pretty criticizable. But if you're a liberal and you criticize a liberal, that's verboten. That's bad news. And meanwhile, recently I was attacked for criticizing Republicans. All these Republicans in my list started like harassing me. Like, why are you hating? And I'm like, I don't know. I just criticize things that I think are not right, right? So, but I'm not going to stop. We're going to be open here. And that's why I want to give you, Jones, the opportunity to clear the air on something. Something that people ask me all the time about you. I think you know what I'm talking about.
I don't. So you'll have to ask.
People are constantly asking me if you're homosexual.
Constantly? Constantly.
I know that does. It does come up. You're an affirmed bachelor. Affirmed, I guess, means that you don't want to get married. So I should stop saying that. You are a bachelor.
Correct.
Never been married.
Correct.
The tabloids have yet to pick up on you out at, you know, premieres around town with a person on your arm. And so because of that fact, people, they have questions. And so I do get asked what sexuality you are or what sexual preference you have.
Right. And what do you tell them?
I always say, I don't blame you for asking, but he is a straight man.
Okay.
Far as I know.
That would be an accurate answer.
Okay. Say it loud and proud right now. What are you?
I am a heterosexual Bulls, Bears, Cubs, and Blackhawks fan.
Wow. Going above and beyond.
Above and beyond. Now there's no questions of anything.
Well, no. Okay, fine. So then another question has not ever come up, but I wonder why it doesn't come up in this day and age. What gender are you?
Male. It's pretty simple.
You identify as a male.
Pretty straightforward.
I got to say, I expected that you were trans feminine. Someone assigned a male sex at birth. Assigned. Like there's, you know, like God's like some clerical office worker. All right. Your gender has been assigned trans feminine. And then you know, a hole opens up in a cloud and you fall through the floor down to earth.
No, I really think the whole thing overall is pretty simple.
Trans feminine is someone assigned a male sex at birth who identifies as feminine but may not identify wholly as a woman. Often you'll encounter the phrase feminine of center. feminine of center, to indicate where people who identify as transfeminine see themselves in relation to other genders.
See, I've not heard that term, and I have to admit, in the last year or two, my mind is really almost exploding with all these terms and identities. I just think things are so much more basic. I think they are. Maybe they're not.
You want to go back to the 1950s America like I do.
Well, I don't know.
I do. I want to hit my head and I want to wake up. I want, in Back to the Future. Although he didn't hit his head, he actually went back in time.
Right. Well, that would be easier for us.
I like Peggy Sue Got Married. I want to hit my head and I want to wake up in 1955.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are some aspects of that way of life that would be easier for us.
Would you hit my head for a man? Hit my head for a man.
I would hit you for less.
Hit this head.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel the need to go back to the Peggy Sue era.
Okay, so to you, there is black and there is white. There is no gray in this regard when it comes to gender.
I would say so.
Like, I can't even say it without deriding it.
No, I would say so, unless, there may be outliers to it. Very rare outliers where you're kind of, I don't know, you're born with both bits.
Yeah, like hermaphrodites.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, that's like sexual, that's your biology.
Right.
Your anatomy, that isn't gender. And a gender, as we're now learning, is your mental perception of who you are.
Right. Now, without that, I will admit that there are some outliers in that argument. Because if you're born with both bits, I could see where you're kind of like, I don't know what I identify with. Overall, though, I think it's not even a matter of identity. There are all these gradations of identity, and it does need to be kind of pared back a little bit. But now you're even starting to see these discussions where you're actually talking about not the gender identity, but now we're being fluid about the gender of the actual person.
It's not even male, female, somewhere in the middle, trans. Now it's getting out of hand.
Well, I think so. So with this, with the discussion that we're having now and then events earlier in the week, the big story was in North Carolina.
That was a story that I heard. They passed some law down there.
Well, yes.
That impacted trans people.
As I've tried, it actually doesn't infect... just affect trans
people. That was Freudian.
It affects everybody. It affects everybody.
It affects me.
Yeah. So as I understand it, and anybody who reads these articles will know what I mean when I say as I understand it, because it is so hard. These articles are so difficult to read. The Charlotte City Council in North Carolina was going to pass a bill that would allow people to go into whatever bathroom they want based on the gender, not that they physically were, but what they identified with.
So I could say I have a remarkable penis, but I
feel like I'm a woman.
Don't care about that. I feel like a woman, like Shania Twain once crooned, and I'm going to go into the women's room. And Charlotte was going to say, that's cool. You can do that.
Yes. And now the governor of North Carolina, Pat McCrory.
Really? I would have thought that he would have had like boss something.
No, simply Pat McCrory.
Oh, an Irishman.
Yeah. They approved a law that was put forth by the Republican legislature that overpowered that and said that, no, you can't do that. You can't allow people to go into the bathroom of their gender identification. Not gender. How they identify themselves. And these articles, when you read them, are really hard to comb through because a lot of it is talking about this week, North Carolina shot down an anti-LGBT, anti-discrimination law.
And yeah, double negatives. It's what now? Are they approving of discrimination or they're anti-discrimination? I don't even know what the hell we're talking about now.
You had to dissect each sentence. Like, it took forever to get through the article.
I'm as confused as Caitlyn Jenner about what this article's talking about.
Oh, it's brutal to get through it. But when you do... I get to the end of this and I'm just thinking to myself, now I, for the record, and I've gone on the record before, and it's almost frustrating that you always have to clarify yourself before you go forward in any of these talks. I believe in gay rights. I believe that gays should be allowed to be married. I believe that if, you know, you want to go through a transsexual, a gender,
reassignment,
you if that's something that you want to do, then you should absolutely be allowed to go do that. I'll admit I really don't. I can't wrap my mind around that, but I don't have to. It doesn't matter. I support that. But this is where I'm going, all right, now we're fighting over a turf that doesn't need to be fought over.
Yeah, who's fighting and what for?
If you have a penis, there's a room for you to go. If you have a vagina, there's a room for you to go. It's simple.
Okay, we'll get to the bottom some degree of this next. It's Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike, we're letting it all hang out this week. Jones has officially declared himself. I'm shocked.
No, you're not.
You have declared yourself definitively for all ears
you love
to
this.
Hear that you are a Cubs fan.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Yes.
Who would admit that?
I am. I am, man. This is the year. This is the year.
And you've never, ever tasted a man's Bob and Berries. You
no.
never, ever put them in your mouth.
Let's just stick to the Cubs talk, but to answer the question, no.
Many times they go hand in hand.
Come on now.
I thought you were going to say that you're pan-gender. Pan means every, as you know, or all.
No,
and
I didn't
this is another
even,
identity
even,
label, such as genderqueer or neutrois.
And then there is...
That challenges binary gender and is inclusive of gender-diverse people.
Or pansexual. Let's not leave the pansexuals out of this.
Pansexuals. Are people that have sex with pancakes.
No, sexually fluid. That's my new favorite term.
Thrice a quarter.
No, you don't, because if you're sexually fluid, that means you just flow back and forth between men, women, doesn't matter. Which I used, my understanding of that previously was bisexual, but since everything needs a term now.
Well, no, but see, that I think that's the problem, is that it's like, I don't think gender and sexuality are the same. That mind blown. Like, well, you feel like a woman, but that won't change who you want to have sex with. And ultimately, that's where I fall on this issue. Is like, dude, I don't care what's in your pants, and I don't care what you like to put in your mouth, or where you like to stick it, whatever you've got in your pants. I really don't care. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to hear about it. I'm sick of hearing about all of everyone's junk. I don't care. And it's great if you don't like to put anything in your mouth, like you kind of don't. You really, it doesn't like preoccupy you. Like, that's really your unique position in the world. Like, put gender and sexuality aside. Like, you are not ruled by your sexual drive the way that I am, clearly. The way the dudes typically are.
You are disturbing, yes.
Where they, like, think about sex every 11 seconds. And I'm like, yeah, oh, 11? What's wrong with those guys? They're apparently skipping, you know, they're half as much as I am.
You're so masculine.
No, but it's like, so I can't help it. So it's like, the way I can't help it is the way I view, like, other people. They literally can't help the way they were born, the way they are. So who cares? I don't care. I don't care. Now, having said that, I happen to view people with penises as predatory. As predatory because of the sex drive that people with penises typically have. I view them as dangers, and I want you to stay at least 5 feet away from every member of my family at all times. That's it. Very simple. I don't care if you're wearing a dress, pants, it doesn't matter. If I feel like you probably have a penis somewhere on you, on your person, I want you to stay away. Stay away. We'll be friendly, but I want you to keep your distance because I'm afraid of you. I mean, so we went to the Wolves game, the boy and I, the oldest boy and I, and a dude comes in into the bathroom while we're in there, and he looked just like a regular dude, but he looked angry. And so right away, I grabbed Dominic, I put him near me, and I'm like, and I don't know, this something's with this guy. Right. He drank too much. I'm typically leery of strangers, but I'm really leery of this guy. And I know it sucks that we have to be leery in the bathroom, but we're being leery of you in the bathroom right now. I'm glad I'm in here with my son right now. I'm glad I didn't just let him run in. And at some age, I'll have to let him just kind of go about his business. But I'll probably fake it. I'll probably park right next to him at the urinal line and fake like I'm going just so I can keep an eyeball on him.
What do you think the age is for that? What's the cutoff?
Where I just let him go?
You gotta let him go. Even if you watch the door.
Yeah, or even when I'm... Well, I think there will be a point where I don't know. I'll probably always fake it. But if maybe 14, 13,
really?
14, where just let him get out of his seats and go.
Wow. See, that's a lot older than I would have thought. And I bring that up because I was in that situation a couple months ago when I took our buddy Andy. We took me and his sister took his kids out for pizza. And the oldest boy had to go to the bathroom. And I had line of sight on the door. And I think it was just like a one-hitter bathroom in this pizza place. And he's going on...
A one-hitter bathroom?
Yeah, just he's not going into a whole...
Oh, it's just like...
It's not like a row.
One receptacle in there.
Exactly, one person at a time.
Oh, okay.
So I had a line of sight on it, and he was going on 10. And I thought, he was like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. I was like, okay, I'm not going to hold my hand or walk him over there. I was like, okay, cool. And I watched it, and his aunt was like, oh, I'm not really comfortable about that. I'm going to walk over that way. And I that's where I first thought, like, yeah, what is the cutoff on that? Now, I didn't have any perceived threats out there. I wasn't kind of... Now, if there was like 10 stalls where anybody could be in there, I probably would have gotten up.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Been the good uncle. But his parents weren't apparently upset or not upset, but like concerned.
Well, no, the parents weren't there.
Oh, it was
me,
literally,
it was
no
me
parents anywhere.
And the aunt, me and his aunt took them out for pizza.
Ah, okay, all right.
So
the woman went, I'm not comfortable with this. And why was she not comfortable?
Probably for that predatory reason. Don't trust people with penises.
Yeah, dude, seriously. Yeah, I can't stress it enough.
Well, see, so even when we're coming through this story, I did actually think about, a couple of scenarios that I would face. Where I was like, man, to me, this is also very simple. You have a certain genitalia. You go to that bathroom. It's really pretty cut and dry.
And how do we police that?
Exactly.
Becomes the question.
This is where...
And I have a theory for you on how we can do that.
That's gross, and I don't know that I will want to know it, but... it's one of those things, though, where here we are, this has been in the news for a couple days, and we're having this discussion nationally about it. And really, we're having a discussion about something that, by and large, is impossible to monitor.
Yeah.
If there is a man out there that identifies as a woman but still has a penis, and they go into a woman's room, once they go into the stall and close the door, you don't know what's going on anyway, and kind of vice versa.
Although dudes are pretty loud, I think, in the bathroom. I don't know. Women, do you make noises? Dudes grunt. They fart
actually,
and stuff.
Actually,
like, I don't think a dude can cut that off just because they put on a girdle.
I don't want to really dive down into this level of discussion too far. But I know from the women that I work with.
Oh, I thought you were going to bust out your mom and your sister.
No. From the women that I work with.
Really?
They complain about all the other women all the time.
Yeah, really?
And it smells. It's grunts. It's...
What?
Everything. Oh, everything that you would think. Yes. No, that's why. That's where they go and they let it out. Yeah, no, for real. Like, everything that you think, oh, only guys do that. No, I think they load up. And everything that they kind of bottle up because women are supposed to be sugar
seriously?
And spice and everything nice.
No way. My old lady does not do none of that.
I wouldn't put money on that.
I got eagle ears, dude.
I wouldn't put... You're getting older. I don't know about that.
Well,
you've had all those years of having headphones on.
But if I heard my old lady grunting or
you
something?
You might. Yeah, you... Oh, I'm sure it would put you off, but I wouldn't bet that it doesn't happen.
It's one of the things I love about her. She's like the model of femininity.
Okay.
Like 25 years with this woman, she's never ever farted in front of me. I love that.
Okay.
I think that's nasty.
Okay, that's fine. But what I'm saying
is... some couples, they joke around about it. It's like, there's nothing funny about your old lady farting, dude.
Right. And I know you feel very strongly about that, but I wouldn't... When you're not around or she doesn't think you're around and you can't hear... I'm telling you.
No,
I
not my wife. But most women, you're saying you'd be surprised at how nasty. Like, women's rooms are really nice.
They are.
You know, not that I've hung around in a whole lot, but like I have, like, you know, at a hotel, I would let my daughter go in, but then I'd have to, like, you know, I'd make sure nobody came in or out, so I knew it was empty, and I would poke my head in to be like, hey, you okay? And I'm like, wow, there is a potted plant over there.
Oh, it's real nice.
And there's a couch, and they have carpeting in here. Like, what the hell is this?
I know, it's real nice. Now we're getting a little bit off topic, but that's perfectly fine. Have you ever been caught in a woman's room?
No, but you have?
At the John Hancock building.
How the hell did that happen?
I was in the signature room. And I had always heard that the best view, the best bathroom view in the city is from the women's room in the John Hancock. And I went up there with my sister and some cousins, and they had said that. And at one point when we were walking, we were on one side of the signature lounge having a drink. Uh-huh. And then we went to the other side to get a drink. And as we're walking across, my cousin and one of my sisters was right by the women's room.
Uh-huh.
And they waved me over, like, quick. Because they're like, no. And then as I walked up, I knew what they were going to do. They were like, no one's in there. Go in there and you can see the view. So I quickly scrambled in there. And then all of a sudden, I just heard, like, just a quick little knock at the door. And I knew it was a warning. And I was like, oh, no, it's someone that's coming in.
So did you go into a stall and put your feet up or
something?
Well,
where I was, I couldn't really do that, so I ducked behind it, and I ducked behind the door, like the entrance door, and there was a security guard. So he walked in, and like he looked around, and there I am tucked in behind the door.
Oh, my God. So why was there a security guard coming in?
Because
they knew there was some creepy dude in there?
Someone must have seen me just duck in there.
And what did, so I'm assuming...
I was like, look, I know no one's in here. My sister told me no one was in here, and I heard this hit the best view of the city.
And he went, yeah, it's pretty good.
And then I was like, yeah, we're going to finish up our drinks and go anyway. And he was like, all right, otherwise I got to have you go. Or what? Let me off, but yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're
but that had nothing
psycho.
To do. That had everything to do with me being a passionate Chicagoan. There was no gender identity issues.
What was the view that made it so
nice.
Great?
It was just it wasn't really that spectacular, I have to say.
Okay, so were you facing west, or south, or north? You're facing south.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing really to, I mean, you're facing south.
South,
nice
north,
view.
What's the difference? I don't understand why it would be
so
good.
I mean, it was nice.
What was
view.
The men's room of? Was there even a view?
There is, but it's just a smaller window.
What?
It's a smaller window because you know how the Hancock is structured and they have the way the steel beams crisscross.
Yeah, so it's like a little triangle.
So I think
triangle.
Their window is a little bit, as I recall, it's a little smaller.
That's BS. See, that's what we need. We need bathroom equality. Like, it's not as bad as what it was with segregation, but I want separate but equal. I do. When I see the little, you know, and I don't know if that's like a mother's area, but when I see that couch set up, dude, I want that in the men's room. Now, men are disgusting pigs. I've already made that clear. And y'all frighten me. And I want you to stay away. So I don't want to hang out in the men's room. But, it, you know, if women can, and I guess, be a disgusting pigs themselves and still have a place to kind of lounge, why can't we have a little couch, potted plant, and an equal view?
So it'd be nice. It's not going to happen.
Now, when you come in, I'm going to eyeball you. I'm going to eyeball you. But here's the thing. So, like, I have not seen anybody's junk in the men's room or anywhere in, like, you know, decades. Like, I want to say that as a child at a Bears game, I'd kind of, like, you know, be at the trough, and I'd be all, you know, I would unfortunately see things. Like, I don't know, were the troughs, were the people on the other side of the trough? Was it, like, in the middle of the room? No, it can't be. But I want to say that that's probably the last time that I've spied anything in a men's room.
Right.
So now, as an adult, like, I wouldn't know if you have a vagina or you have a colostomy bag. I wouldn't know what you're doing. So I don't care.
Right. So I don't understand why we're fighting over this turf that is, I mean, it seems like a pretty straightforward issue. Whatever.
Well, that's my point, is I don't care what gender you are or what sexuality you are.
And even if you want to get away with it, you can.
I'm afraid of all beings, all people, for especially when it comes to my kids, but men especially.
Would it be discrimination then if there was a third? See, that's the thing. I think if we set up a third bathroom where it was male, female, and...
And they have those. They're called like family bathrooms or whatever.
Okay, yeah. Let's say that...
But you're envisioning something closer to Europe. I think in Europe they have, like, unisex bathrooms everywhere.
Yeah, no, I don't. I definitely don't want to go that route.
Where there would be women in there with you.
No.
That would freak you out.
I don't think that's a good mix. Especially when you're going in, like, who really would want... Like, what woman would really want to go at a bar or a restaurant Friday, Saturday night, people are out drinking, and then you want to go into a unisex bathroom? Where now the door's closed behind you?
What could go wrong? Okay, yeah. Again, you're saying there you could come in contact with a predator,
yes.
i.e. a man.
Typically, yes.
It sounds like we're falling onto the same side of the ledger here. Again, I'm kind of like, I don't know. You have to police yourselves and your family and your people anyway, no matter what. So what difference does it make?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just something that it just makes sense. It just makes sense. It's just very much a basic. I don't know why. You know, I support so many other issues, you know, related to the LGBT community.
Regated. You just said.
Did it?
Regated to. You put the gay in regated.
Regated to? What did I mean?
We'll play it back in post.
No, let's not. We never do anything in post anyway.
What if you put your penis into some sort of a lock in order to get into the men's room?
See, this was your idea. I knew it was going to be dumb. I just knew it. If she's going, I have an idea.
Well, that's the only solution I can think of.
No, but yeah, then what do you...
To keep this, to police this.
Okay, then what would you do if you're a woman to get into a woman's room?
Right. Well,
then
you're right.
Nothing.
So men just would be able to access the women's room.
Yeah, exactly. So and that's the problem.
And I know dudes are seeing this story in North Carolina, and they're like, I don't want any dude in the bathroom with my daughter. And it's like, well, you should just be with your daughter, I think, all the time. And when she's 17 or whatever, like, I don't know, yeah, maybe you stand outside the door.
Well,
if that embarrasses her, I don't care.
Well, we'll see how that's going to really function. But it's one of those
things. Teach her how to use pepper spray. And to kick people in the nads.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that easy. Just whatever. Like, you can never keep them totally safe.
No, you can't.
So,
you can't.
In the bathroom, I don't know how that's any different than just the real world.
No, you're right. You're right. But, I mean, I look at even the way that we're breaking all of this up now, and in terms of identifying, like, I mean, if that's something that's in your head, in your person, no one can see that in you. Let's say that if you're a man and you're dressed as a woman and that's in your gender identifying role, you know, why are we talking about policing this when it comes to the bathroom when it's so unpoliceable? And then by opening up this discussion, then you open up a whole other set of traps. I read an article about a woman this week who identified herself as non-binary.
Non-binary?
Which means she's not a man. In her, how she feels in her mind. And I'm trying to be very careful about this because I'm not trying to word this in a way where it's like I'm defining it as she's a head case. Because once you do that, then you whatever you try to communicate going forward completely gets shot down. But she, as we were talking about the difference between sex and gender identification, she is a woman. She's actually a very attractive woman.
Oh.
But she's non-binary, she says. She, if you ask, are you a man? She says no. If you ask if she's a woman, she says no. She uses, and this is her own words, she uses the women's room just because it's easiest.
Because she looks like a
woman. No. You use the woman's room because you're a woman. That's why
you're
using
it. She's not disclosing if she has a penis or not.
No, she is... She is saying to answer the question, even though it's not anyone's business and I don't want to discuss my junk, I am a woman. That's the headline of it. The headline of it is I'm not a man, I'm not a woman, and no, I don't want to discuss my junk. And so if you're using, let's use non-binary as a means for this discussion.
And binary, typically people think of numerals, digits. Binary is something with two parts.
Yes.
So by saying she's non-binary, she's saying she has no parts,
at least in terms of identification, how she feels about herself.
Okay.
So let's look at it this way. You shoot down the North Carolina legislature's law.
Was going to open up bathrooms to people who wanted to go. So if you feel like you're a woman gender, you can go in the women's room even though you're a dude with a penis.
Yes, exactly.
And so then the Republican governor shot that down and said, no, we actually have a right to discriminate down here.
Right. Okay. And then said, no, you have to go based on the gender you are.
That's right.
Physically are. So let's create paint a situation for you. Okay, paint a picture for you. You, Mike Noonan, are out with your four kids at McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
Okay, your youngest is playing in the playland.
It's already absurd.
Boy,
I would never poison them like that.
Would you just stop and go with it?
Fine.
You have no control over your kids. They go wherever they want. They dominate you. So your youngest is playing in the playground. Your oldest boy is sitting there wolfing down a Happy Meal, and your two girls are talking and laughing, and everything's great. Couple minutes in, your oldest girl turns to you and says, hey, Dad, I need to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And your line of sight, you can see the bathroom. She gets up. She walks. She goes out into the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Now, in walks a guy. Like, it's not me, but let's say looks like me. About my size, red fleece sweater, black
unassuming,
sweatpants.
Sure.
Yeah, just walks in and goes walking into the woman's room.
Yes.
Now, here, I am going to predict.
Oh, of course.
I'm going to try to guess what you would do.
Of course
I'm guessing that you would, Grace, stay right here, watch the boys. You would get up, walk over, go into the bathroom, and at the very least say, hey, buddy, it's a girls' room,
Yeah, if there's no view in there of the south side of the city, get out of there.
Right. Now, imagine that that guy could turn around to you and say, excuse me, sir, but I'm non-binary.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the bathroom.
A little verbal jujitsu to throw me off base.
I mean, could you imagine that?
Yeah.
Now you're opening yourself up to that. And I don't think you really are placing anybody on some incredible hardship by making them go into the bathroom of the actual sex that they are.
That's right. So I, of course, you know that I would go, oh, fabulous. Oh, that's the law? All right. Well, Old Blue and I are just going to stand here and watch the proceedings. You don't mind, do you? Old Blue is my knife. By the way, I got into Allstate Arena last night with a weapon.
How did you do that?
I carry a knife in like a little pocket in my jacket.
Why did you have a knife?
I always just have a knife in my pocket.
Like, how big is it?
Old Blue is, it's probably illegal. Like, I think, like, the legality is, like, the width of your palm or whatever. And I have, like, very slender childlike palms.
Okay, but it's more of a utility knife.
Well, no. I mean, it's like a Bowie knife or something. Like, it's a foldable knife.
Do you carry it for protection?
You know what? I left it in there after doing some work in the yard. And then I just kind of went like, you know, I'm just going to leave this in here all the time. But usually when I go to, like a sporting event or a concert or something, I'll take it out.
Right.
Because otherwise, they'll make you throw things away that are contraband. This time, I totally forgot about it till we got into our seats. And I'm like, I have a weapon in here. This is awesome.
I'm going to kill somebody.
Especially at a Wolves game. where I do. I judge a book by its cover. Pretty rough people, pretty rough crowd at the Wolves games. So I was glad. Now I'm thinking, like, I wonder if I can get a hatchet in this place. Like, how far can I go? So at any rate, me and Old Blue, we would I would have my one hand on Old Blue and my other hand extended in friendship, but I would stay and I would watch this man in the bathroom. So then there's two dudes in the bathroom.
And you probably wouldn't even have to pull out Old Blue, because no. I guess the reverse is you could say, well, I'm a non-binary father.
That's right. I am a pacifist.
Yeah.
Protective father. So at any rate, that's an easy choice for me. But I guess then what's the flip side? The flip side is what? What's the flip side scenario of that? That my son goes into the men's room, I'm sitting at the table, and I look across and I see Caitlyn Jenner go into that bathroom.
Right, yes. Now, okay, that is going to, okay, that's an interesting turn. And
or just a woman. That doesn't even have to be like an outwardly, like, you know, weird-looking person.
Okay, yeah.
It just is, well, some woman went into the bathroom.
Right.
I got to say that I don't leap up quite as quickly.
But I think you do. I think you do. Like, why wouldn't you? It's just a basic. It's just a basic. That's like us at going to the bathroom. Look, peeing and pooping is as basic
Jesus.
As we get.
Oh, my God.
That and drinking water. That's as basic as we get
and
as
breathing
humans.
Air. Sure.
So now when we're confusing how that gets executed, I think, of course, that would be cause to concern. If we're not getting that basic down right. So, for example, even if it's this completely non-threatening looking woman.
Yeah.
And she's going in there after that. Like, why is she going in there after?
Yeah.
Why?
Maybe,
like,
she's maniacal. Maybe she doesn't know what room she's in. Well, yeah. I want to know what's doing.
Exactly. And now you, by doing that, at least by in terms of how these people are reacting down in North Carolina, people are up in arms. This is a disgraceful piece of legislation. That there are people out there that would look at your attitude towards that.
Here's
like
the thing.
Archaic.
All right, now dig this, bro. Because of what they passed down there in North Carolina, they're essentially creating an environment where this very scenario that you're describing will be happening.
Absolutely.
Somebody who outwardly appears to be a woman, but happens to have a penis under her dress, will be following my son into the bathroom.
Yes.
And somebody who outwardly looks like some you know, nice, genteel fellow like you, but has a... Meanwhile, I've never seen... Do you have a penis?
Actually, you have seen it.
I have seen it?
Yeah, you did.
I wasn't impressed, I guess. It didn't make an impression on me.
Well, you did while I was sophomore year at Marquette. And you came up to visit me from ISU, and then you walked in as I was coming out of the shower, and you started taunting me.
About your penis?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't even really think you believed or felt what you were saying. I just think you thought, hey, this is an opportunity to be mean. I'm going to seize it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right.
You're instinctively churlish.
I am. All right. More weirdness on the way, Jones and Mike.
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
It's Jones and Mike. Really, all this discussion is about to me is that, like, 5 to 10% of human beings are super riled up about 1/10 of 1% of human beings wagging the dog.
And
in
it's
other
amazing
words,
how much noise they can make.
Well, right. So in other words, very few people have got to be trans or non-binary or any of that nonsense that you and I view as just nonsense. No, it's black, it's white. We don't care. Most people are like, we just don't care. But there's like 10% of people that probably typically are like red state Republican kind of, you know, or hillbillies or whatever. Those people are like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this minority group telling us what to do. So we're going to pass laws that says we can discriminate against them because they're predators or whatever, right? So it's like a very small percentage of people sick of another small percentage of people, a tiny, teeny minority of people, you know, kind of making tons of noise all the time. Like, who's not sick of hearing about trans? Who's not, and this woman in this article who's, I'm non-binary, don't put me, I don't want to be in a group. It's like, oh, by not wanting to be in a group, you've created a new group. You're a pain in the ass, is what you are. Nobody was asking you. Nobody was asking you what you put in your mouth, and nobody cares what's in your pants. We really don't. So why are you the subject of a New York Times article? Because there's constantly this pulsing of this news coming out of this group. And it's like, okay, we hear you. We hear you. And you know what? Here's a mind-blowing fact for you to wrap your minds around, is most of us, we support you just by virtue of not caring really about you or really about anybody else. So go about your business. Go do it.
And it's pretty amazing how far the discussion has stretched across this country over such a small number now. You know, and here we are talking about identifying and how we identify ourselves, how we identify other people. To talk about a slightly larger group.
Yeah.
And in terms of how, because, you know, we really are talking about a fractionally small portion of people, and it's really become a national debate. But when you really get into the issues where you're being affected by a larger number of people, sometimes it's surprising what doesn't get discussed. And I kind of don't know why it doesn't take hold. So, you know, with that mind, I'm curious. Uh-huh. We're talking about a larger group, so this isn't something where we can just marginalize and brush it off and say, well, it's really just 1/3 of 1%.
This is like a black and white, like 50% of people are this and 50% of people are that.
It's not 50%, but it's a number that's up there. Uh-huh. And I just am curious where you lie on the scale.
Okay.
Who are stranger?
Oh.
Horse people or cat people?
Who's stranger? People that love horses or people that love cats?
Yeah. And I mean, and I'm talking about when I'm saying like someone who loves a cat, I mean like the cat woman.
Why horse
or cat? Not someone who has one.
Normally people identify themselves as a dog person or a cat person.
Yeah, but there's not typically, this is what I'm looking for, is like more on the extreme scale of personality. Even when you meet, like there is a reason that people put a term out there like, oh my God, she, even if they don't own a cat, there is a way of referencing someone as, oh my God, she's a crazy cat lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people know what that means.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, nobody really looks at that like, oh my God, the dude is, he's such a dog guy. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you don't see
you never
people
hear houses of squalor and they have like, they had 76 dogs.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You never walk in and like just see, like, dog people don't have, I've never seen like dog themed frames everywhere,
right?
And like dog art. Dog, you know, themed, you know, throw rugs and stuff. I just don't see that the way you see it with cats.
And I ask this because I've also met people who are very passionate about horses, and it becomes an obsession. Horse people can veer along the lines of falling in love with horse art and constantly, yeah, running out to the stables. That's the first point of conversation for people who are crazy about horses.
There's more normal, like, it's easier to adorn your house in horse art and horse stuff because you can, it's just Western themed. This is like it's actually a genre, but there's no like cat theme.
No, you're right. And you can get away with that. You can cover up your kind of horse craze more than you can your cat craze. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is last week, After we recorded the show last week, I had my mountain bike in my car.
You did.
And I'm going to go on both sides here of the discussion because I do know cat people and I do know horse people.
And but you're neither. You're cat and horse non-binary.
When it comes to horses or cats. I'm allergic to cats, but I have no desire to own a horse.
And I'm a cat dude. I am a cat guy.
No, you're not, though. You own a cat.
Oh, I own
and
a cat.
How many times have I been over here? How long have you guys had the cat?
Well, we've had a cat in our possession since 96.
Okay.
20 years.
For about 20 years, you guys have had a cat in the home, and I'd say I've seen your cat 5 or 6 times.
That's how cats should be, spoken of and never seen
I know,
or heard.
But in a cat lady house...
There's just cats everywhere. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Well, okay, I guess I would fall down as I'm anti-horse. Let's put it that way.
Anti-horse.
I hate horses. I do. I think they're aliens. They're so weird looking. I think it's weird to like them. Those stables are hot and dirty. They suck.
It's interesting because for several years, your oldest daughter was obsessed with horses.
I know, and my job was to take her to the stables, and I was like, I hate this. The people here are weird. The way they have to dress is weird. I mean, some of the women that would be out there practicing like fabulous keisters in those
riding pants.
So I kind of was titillated by that, but overall, very negative experience.
Okay,
and basically because I'm like, I think these animals are the weirdest animals. I don't want to be near them. They're like from another planet. But then everyone else, all these other human beings, are like, they're so majestic. It's so beautiful. How could you not want, like, I think, like, no, we should be able to eat these things. Oh. These are not, why are they protected from being eaten? I don't understand that. So
well,
I'm anti-horse.
As someone who doesn't eat meat, I can't answer that for you, but.
Well, okay, all the more reason. You should totally have a perspective on this.
What?
Why are dogs and horses not able to be eaten? And cats, for that matter. But like cows, pigs, you can have a cow and a pig as a pet.
Well, I don't think any of them should be eaten.
Well, clearly you don't, but speak from your perspective towards meat eaters. Why are there certain animals that are protected and other animals that aren't? In America, at least. Over in the Middle East, like they're crazy for horses.
I mean, I obviously I don't have, other than it's the norm that's been created. I don't have an answer, and I don't really care to have an answer about it. It's just the norm that's being created.
Along the lines of my mantra with gender and sexuality, I don't care what you put in your mouth.
Right.
Okay. All right, fine. So I'm anti-horse, and if I had to be anything pro, I'd be a pro-cat.
Okay, so you're a cat guy.
Yes.
It's weird, but okay. So I have...
Why? Because, like, real men shouldn't... If I were to identify as a real man, I shouldn't be identifying as a cat guy.
It just sounds weird. I'm a cat guy.
Yeah, that's right.
It just sounds odd.
You're being judgy. So, like, that sounds kind of gay.
Well, no, it's just weird. No, I didn't. Now you're judging how I'm judging you. I don't think it has anything to do with your gayness.
Don't judge my judginess.
I don't think it has anything to do with your gayness. I think it's just weird to hear a guy refer to himself as a cat guy.
Okay, continue now.
Last week... After the show, I went out, I had my mountain bike, I went out in the trails out in Palos, and I went to go riding around. Bad idea, because it had rained all week, and I quickly discovered that it was just covered, every trail was covered in mud.
Did you go out to Swallow Cliff?
I even said out in Palos, because I wanted to avoid that whole thing for you, because I know you couldn't stay away from it.
Their marketing campaign where they had those t-shirts, do you Swallow Cliff? I loved that campaign.
Dude, you're so bad with this stuff. It's just like I really made a conscious effort. I was like, just don't say it, because then it goes off on this tangent of like...
Of immaturity.
Yeah,
okay,
I know. I knew
fine.
You couldn't stay
I can't
away.
Help it. Fine.
Know,
so you did not swallow Cliff.
So I'm out in Palos. And I'm going down this trail. And I see these two women. They're on these huge horses. And this is like a family area where kind of the trails were all coming together. And I had just come off this one trail. Now, I have a 21-speed mountain bike, but
whoa.
What I was doing was this. It's normal, but...
I guess I'm non-binary when it comes to my bikes.
Right.
You either pedal or you don't.
Yeah.
That's all you have.
Right, yeah. So I'm like in first gear. Because it's a climbing gear, and I was on these single tracks where it's a little bit harder. You're climbing over logs, and you're going up and
doing
down.
Manly stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm in first gear. Now, if you're in first gear on a 21-speed bike, you can fly, you can pedal as hard as anything. You can pedal like a maniac. But the bike will only go like 3 miles an hour.
Because like the first, that's like the smallest
sprocket. The smallest
sprocket.
Gear, yeah. It's okay. Like the size of like a Dorito. You know, uh-huh. It's not going to pull a whole lot. So anyway, I come off this trail. I'm in first gear and I see these horses. We're in this family area. There's families all over and there's these two gigantic horses. And right away.
Were they Clydesdales? You keep talking about how big they are.
I don't know.
Horses
are
just big.
Well, okay, fine. They're just big horses.
The same way I don't know anything about mountain bikes, you don't know anything about horses.
Okay, they weren't ponies.
How many hands high were they?
You're really disrupting my flow.
Fine.
So as I'm approaching the horses, I'm thinking to myself, there's something off. There's something off about these horses. I just have a bad feeling.
I don't trust these horses.
And they weren't doing anything immediately, but I just was like, something's going to go down. So I approached really slowly.
Uh-huh.
And then there was like this like little puddle of mud in the trail. I just kicked out wide around the puddle. And then as I got around the puddle, started to pedal away from the horses. I was pedaling off the track to just surrender them the whole trail.
Yeah.
So as I'm pedaling by, now there's people all around. This one horse that was closest to me flips out. I mean, legs going everywhere, braying, I think it's called.
It runs. Braying?
Isn't that where they kind of kick around and go wild?
Bucking? Like a bray is what a donkey says.
Says?
You heard of what the fox says. What does the fox say? A bray is what a donkey says.
Well, a donkey says bray.
That's right. That's a horse. That's a horse.
Whatever. Anyway, it's bucking.
Bray, noun, the loud, harsh cry of a donkey or mule.
Okay, it's bucking.
Yeah.
This thing starts bucking. Legs are going everywhere. It sprints off of the trail, and it gets caught up in this bush.
So walking the horses.
No, she was on it. And it's kicking around, and she's looking at me, and I'm pedaling. Now as I get around this pond, and the horse starts going in my direction, and it's going crazy and goes into this little thicket, I start pedaling to the side,
yeah,
like to get away from it. My jiu-jitsu training kicked in, and it's all about distance management.
Yeah,
when you're
true.
In the middle of a conflict.
Uh-huh.
So I knew I had to create space from uh-huh. this horse, or yeah. else there'd be a problem.
But they can close space like no other.
Yes, they can. But I have to do what I have to do. So as I'm pedaling away, I'm looking at the woman. I'm like, are you okay? Are you okay?
Jeez.
And the other woman that she was with was like, what's wrong? Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? Now she was referring to the horse. Why is he reacting that way? Why is he doing that? So she's like kicking around and thrashing around in this little thicket. And I mean,
like
say
getting
little thicket.
Air, was, like jumping in the air?
Yeah, like just all legs were just going and kicking around.
Jeez.
This woman's staying on the horse and she's inside this bush and thicket and like just kind of getting kicked around.
Nice.
And she didn't fall off the horse. She's on it. And then I'm checking if she's okay, but still pedaling away because I'm not going to go up and just grab, you know, the horse by the...
No, screw that.
Thing.
I wouldn't go near that alien.
So I start pedaling away, but I want to make sure she's okay. If she falls off, I can double back or
yeah.
whatever it is. So she kind of starts to settle the horse, and then I like continue to pedal off. Then all of a sudden, I hear behind me as I'm pedaling away. I turn around. She is galloping after me through these families.
And is the woman like, stop, whoa.
No. She controlled
she's
the horse.
Oh, okay.
She's now chasing me.
So she's controlling the alien
yes.
and making the alien hunt
come
you
after
down.
Me. And I'm thinking, is she going to have it kick me? Like, what's she going to do? She comes up. She's like, hey, you need to slow down. You need to. And she's like screaming at me.
With a 2,000-pound, you know, weapon.
Oh, yeah. And galloping through families. Like, galloping through this area where it was just like.
Dude, you need a knife, bro.
Against a horse. So anyway.
That's better than nothing. What happened
know.
To your Gandalf the Grey walking stick and your anti-wolf spray? You need that on you, bro.
I didn't
A, because
have it on
not
me,
wolf,
yeah.
but coyote spray.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. I didn't have that on me.
That's the thing. Animals don't like you, dude. That coyote that used to hunt you down on the trail and not keep its personal space, that's odd.
Well, that was odd.
And
that
now
was
you
just
have horses charging at you?
Well, no, it wasn't charging at me on its own. The woman was making it charge at me. So she's chasing me down. So I am instantly like thrown off by this whole thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm in first gear.
Do you stop or do you continue pedaling as you're arguing with her?
I don't remember.
You blacked out.
I don't remember really what I was doing, but then she starts like cursing me a blue streak.
Really? Like calling you an a-hole and stuff?
No, yeah, and F this, and then you need to F and stop, and this whole thing. And I'm like, stop? I'm like, but you were stopped.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to have a stare down with a horse. And I was really about to start getting nasty with her. And then the other woman that was with her was like, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was going slow, nice. Pat. He was going
Pat.
Slow.
Yeah. See, these were two lesbians. It has nothing to do with the horses. These were the lesbians you encountered out on the trail.
They could be, but whatever.
Very angry. That was the top you were fighting with.
Right. So she chases me down, and I'm like,
I don't want her in the women's room with my daughter. I got to be honest.
Well, there's nothing you can do about that one.
Keep your distance, Pat.
She is protected
by law.
By law.
And so how did it end? Did you flip her the bird and say F off?
No. So she still continued. She was just embarrassed the way that things had played out.
And she didn't look like she's an experienced, you know, equestrian.
Exactly. So it was my fault that I somehow, I said, if the horse reacts that way with someone on a bike, it shouldn't be out here.
Nice.
And then she just
burn.
Says, yeah, but I was going to say something a lot worse, but then the other woman took my side. So
you decided to wear the white hat.
Yeah. And then she just kind of snapped the little reins or whatever, and then the horse took off.
She did like with her mouth.
And then she just like went the other way and took off with her friend.
She got off and she like fed it a carrot out of her mouth like Niedermeyer in Animal House.
So, but it was one of those things where I thought like, man, like people, it's just, it is funny. Now I have my cousin's wife. Is a horse person, and now I have to say, like, she has all these horses out at her stable, but she runs this organization called Sojourn Therapeutic Center. It's actually pretty cool. She has all these.
Never mind that dopey name. It's actually pretty cool.
No, it is cool. What she does, she has all these little harnesses and stuff that you can put on the horse. So kids with special needs that aren't able to typically go ride a horse.
Oh my God.
She has her own stable, so they're able to sit on the horse and they walk the horse around
Jesus.
Or whatever, and the kids love it.
No way.
Well,
I would not let my kid with special needs on one of those things.
Yeah, but the kids get a lot out of it. So I have to say, like, she runs an organization and that like benefits other people. But overall, just the idea of something like that type of animal, that massive animal, what would make you want to mount it and walk it through a group of people?
That's what I'm saying.
Supposed to be relaxing to you.
And this is why I am definitively an anti-horse person. They're the stupidest. Look, Christopher Reeve was killed by a horse. I've never ever heard. I know that there are theories that a cat
will steal.
Yes, he was.
No, I thought he was just paralyzed, and then over time he died.
No, like if you shoot somebody and they're paralyzed, and then 15 years later they die, they will come back and charge you with murder. Apply it to this, Christopher Reeve was this fabulously, although unbeknownst to him, cursed as being a Superman star. He was cursed unbeknownst to him.
Okay, but the horse, if you shoot someone you knew, there was an intention.
The horse absolutely acted with malice.
I guarantee it.
So he gets thrown from a horse, he dies, he lives his horrible life on a ventilator for 12 years or 8 years or whatever before he succumbs to his injuries. It was just a long, painful death. But I've never heard of a cat killing somebody. I've heard of, like, a cat will steal your infant's breath.
Breath, yes. They do that. And actually, the cat that you have now, it almost took out your daughter's eyeball.
It will scratch you, sure.
But
it won't kill you
crazy.
Unless it scratches your jugular. Get out of here.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying.
It almost blinded her.
So Elise, the oldest daughter, has been thrown from a horse before, and I've seen it happen. And I've gone like, you know, it's very, very plush. The dirt is very deep in those places. So I didn't really, I didn't get super concerned. I saw the way she fell. She didn't fall on her head. She had a helmet on. But hey, you fall on your head, you could crack your neck. So I was, you know, I was interested in what happened, but and she was crying and clutching her shoulder, and I'm like, oh God, maybe we have a separated shoulder or something. But by and large, it, you know, she got back up on the horse, which I was digging as a father. I'm like, cool, you get right back up on the horse that threw you. It's not just a phrase; it's a life. It's a life mindset.
Right.
That's she did, but I'm not sad that she's not doing it anymore. And she, and for a time, she was getting the horse themed clocks for her room.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, there were like hooks on her bedroom wall with like bridles and stuff hanging down. So yeah, I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
So which is weirder then? Who is the weirdest person in society? Horse people. The people that literally think that they like are living in like 1850s Wyoming,
right?
Or
the
people,
people that go around that they have, and I know of people where they have multiple cats, and they have purses that are designed to look like a cat, and they have cat costumes for themselves.
It's
and they admit openly, like, "Hey, this girl I'm thinking about specifically, she's like, yep, I'm a cat lady." So they love. That's what's so weird. It may just be a tie because they love these things to such. What would be what would be like kind of among typical society bizarre lengths?
Yeah.
That you love a pet so much that you have to have a house themed like it, or that you have to look at this animal that could kill you, and you want to mount it and go riding around the Chicagoland area as though you are in the open plains of Wyoming.
And for all you
it
know, wants to kill you. Yeah, we have no reason of knowing. I think that horses get a pass. Like, oh, they're majestic, you know, creatures. That are just so loving. It's like, well, so what led you to believe that you thought that horse was going to be skittish? You saw something in that thing's eye.
I don't know. Yeah, something went off inside me, Rose. Because I've seen horses before out on the trail, and I've been fine. And I'm not someone who frightens easily of dogs and horses. And animals don't really scare me. I don't like snakes, but... Yeah. Animals don't scare me.
But you saw his eyes get real big when he saw you or
know.
Something?
There was just something that went off in my gut, and I was like, this horse is going to be a problem. I know it. I know that something is about to go down.
Yeah, I think that you put out a negative animal vibe.
Yeah, but why would the thing is five times my size? Why would it worry about me?
You know, no, there's no reason. But, you know, that's the thing. They say that elephants are afraid of mice. So it's not that you're like a mouse compared to a, you know, I don't know, to a 14-hand high horse.
14 hands.
That's right.
How do you really do the math on that?
Are you considering, you know, do you regret that you once gender identified as a two-spirit, which was a term likely originating with the Zuni tribe of North America? Because clearly you have no Indian in you.
None.
If you were an Indian, if you were a brave, they would have kicked you out of the tribe by now.
You're probably right.
Every time this brave comes around, all the horses go crazy. You're like Frau Blücher in Young Frankenstein. When anytime somebody said Frau Blücher, the horses whinnied in fear.
Right, right. I don't know. I think it had something to do with the operator of the horse.
It was operator error, as they say.
It can't be me.
It wasn't you? You're going to deny culpability here?
Yeah, I wasn't on the horse. I was going away from it.
And have you ever had any other instances of strife out on the trail with people?
I did. With people, no. But I did once with another horse. I got kicked off of a horse when it just broke loose. Well, me, Andy, and this other guy that we knew, we went riding out on a trail, and the horse was able to chomp down on the bit. Like, once it falls back to the horses have a gap in their jaw. Once it falls back far enough, there's nothing you can do. It's just the bit can go back there, and once it does, the horse can just bite down the reins, and you can't, even if you pull back, it's not going to hurt them. It's not going to do anything, and they can take off and go wherever. And it's a long story of how that happened, but it happened. And all three horses that we were on broke off of the trail and just ran through the uncut forest. Totally sliced us up like crazy.
Oh, no. What were you saying? Were you like, whoa!
That's what we were doing. And then it got so bad that I stood. There was a kid. One of the kids who was with us It was our friend Andy and then this other guy you don't know. But the other guy that you wouldn't know, he was like this strong dude, like one of those like 15-year-old kids, 16-year-old kids that could like bench press 300 pounds. Strong kid. I see him pulling back on the reins. He's not stopping the horse. I'm like, if he can't stop it, I'm definitely not stopping it. So I see him. We're almost within seconds of each other. We both stood up on the horse, and I remember consciously thinking to myself, like, I'm probably going to break my shoulder, but I have to get off this thing before it kills me.
Jesus.
And I jumped off the horse, and like in a Western, hit the ground and rolled and rolled and rolled.
Nice.
Spun around, turned to my buddy, the weightlifting buddy, and was like, oh my God, what was that? And then we turn around and we still see Andy stayed on the horse.
Nice.
And we just see him going through this picnic area. He's like 15 years old at the time. Whoa, whoa, whoa! And we walked back to the trail. He must have been on this thing for like a terrifying like 3 or 4 more minutes.
Oh, my God.
We walk back through the barn and we hear, whoa, whoa! And the horse comes charging through the barn.
Yeah.
Clips something and kind of starts to fall and falls on its hindquarters and slides around. And
what?
At that point, Andy just, he rolled off of the horse.
There was tucked that, like, and rolled off of it?
Yes. And then the horse got up and then kind of just kicked around and some of the handlers came up and grabbed it by the reins.
Oh,
and whatever.
My God.
The craziest. And in spite of that, I'm still not scared of them. But I've had some bad horse experiences, and I know my cousin's wife.
Yeah,
she's doing great things with horses, and I know that people.
I think reckless things. That's reckless. Those kids have enough issues. They don't need to be thrown off of a horse on top of. I have actually some footage of you out on the trail last weekend.
All right, come on, Brent. You can do this. You're not afraid.
You're super cool.
You're super cool.
Have you ever seen Young Frankenstein?
Yes, I have.
It's really a bizarre. It's bizarre at times, and that's one of the gags in there. That's like, I love this, but I don't understand why the horses are so freaked out by her.
I know.
Is there some Catherine of Aragon like theme that I don't know about? Frau Blücher molested the horses. I don't know what this is all about.
I don't know, and I won't have the answer for
it. So here's the deal. We can't come down and figure out who's weirder, cat people or horse people. But we are afraid of humans this week, there's no question. And we're confused about you. With April Fool's Day being this week, I have to say that it's the stupidest holiday by a country mile, in my opinion. And it's the time of year when weirdos who shouldn't be playing jokes play jokes. And they're not funny. So we'll talk about April Fool's Day and weirdo humans next, Jones and Mike.
Have you ever listened to a radio show and thought, I could do better than that? Who hasn't? But have you ever thought about actually doing your own show? Now that seems a little more daunting for most people. Hosting your own show helps spread the word about you and your expertise, your business, product or service, charity, or any organization at all. When you have your own show, people listen to you, get the credibility, authority, and visibility you deserve. Chicago Pod Show has the studios, equipment, people, and experience to help you launch your own show almost instantly. Host a show that's heard 24/7 on iTunes, YouTube, mobile apps, websites, or even on the radio. Chicago Pod Show does it all for you. All you have to do is be the star or the expert you already are. Find out how easy getting your own soapbox can be. Visit chicagopodshow.com or call 312-725-8017. chicagopodshow.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
I'm really glad that it's post April Fool's Day, Jones. It's really, I don't understand the holiday. How did it become a thing?
I have no idea. But yeah, I get frustrated with this. I like a well thought out practical joke. You can kind of tip your cap to people and it's good. But the thing that I hate about that day is there are so many jokes that are out there that aren't really jokes. And you can't, you know, you're flipping on, you know, online, clicking on different things, and then all of a sudden you see, oh, so-and-so's having a baby.
Right, right.
Oh, that April Fools. And it's kind of a real arrogant thing because it's like, okay, why? I don't really care if you're having a baby or not, but when you announce it, even if you're a celebrity, even if you announce it, like, oh, that person's having a baby. No, I'm not. It's like, well, I really didn't care whether you were or not.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So this whole, like, faux announcement thing, I don't even know. I guess Michael Phelps announced yesterday he and his fiancée are having quadruplets. I still don't know whether that's fake or not.
Yeah, we don't care. We don't care.
Yeah.
Daniel Cormier got injured, and he's out of the fight against Jon Jones.
That is real.
But, like, Sports Mockery or wherever I saw it was like, this is not an April Fool's prank.
Yeah,
this
it's
is actually
crazy.
A horrible news story.
And actually the worst news story about it was, well, I guess here's one that was funny. So I heard that, and actually I heard it from one of the girls at work because one of her friends is honest enough to tell her that the pornography website Pornhub for the day switched to Cornhub.
I know, I'm looking at it right here, dude.
Which, like, I thought was funny.
People must have been horrified, dude.
That's funny.
But I got to be honest, dude. I spent entirely too much time watching Hot Young Corn Gets Plowed.
Yeah. See, but that's funny.
And
that's
huge funny. Gaping cornhole.
Yeah.
All 18 minutes and 32 seconds of it.
Yeah. Now, see, that's funny.
Can you believe I climaxed at the end of that?
I believe it. You have a lot of problems. You're not a healthy person.
Huge group of kernels takes buttery load.
Okay, stop it. I'm going to come over there and just click that off. But then you get all these jokes that aren't even jokes. Like, I read yesterday there was an article. I'm a car guy. I like cars.
Yeah.
And there was an article where it said Ferrari is going to be using the new Hellcat engine, which is a 707 horsepower engine. I was like, wow, that's really weird. Ferrari's going to use, like, an American Detroit muscle engine. And it ended up that was an April Fool's joke. It's like, that's not even a joke.
That's
just dumb.
That's dumb.
All that is misinformation. And you're going, April Fool's. And it just drives me nuts.
Do you remember, like, in the 80s when we were kids and like, Brandmeier would be on WGCI?
Yes.
And Crazy Howard McGee would be on The Loop.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's trying to talk to honkies, and meanwhile, like, they're checking in, and Brandmeier, and every now and then playing the GCI signal,
Kelly,
and he's, like, you know, trying to talk black.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd be like, this is so great! I'm 14! I love this!
And that was wacky, and it's almost, to me, April Fool's Day is kind of all right if you're being wacky, or unless you're really good with a practical joke. But yesterday, when I went into work, I experienced the flip side of that, where, you know, a joke can go wrong or almost wrong. And that's where I was like, this is such a stupid day because people, if you're going to do a practical joke, there's two steps. The first is, what is the practical joke? The second step is execution. How do we pull it off?
Yeah.
The third step, and you absolutely have to spend time on step number three.
But nobody does.
Nobody does. Almost nobody does. What could go wrong? What are the ramifications if the joke is misunderstood or so-and-so opens up that door instead of that door, what have you? So I went into work yesterday. Now, where I work, you don't clock in and you don't clock out.
It's like a Roach Motel.
The office is open.
Because you live there.
The office is open from 8:30 to 5, okay? So I typically get in between 8:35, 8:45, and then I'll stay till 5:15. Sometimes I stay till 6, 5:30 or 6. But that's kind of the schedule that I work on, and I'm not going to get into all of, you know, what I do during the course of the day, but it's really calling people, setting my own appointments, things of that nature. Like, no one is really, I'm relying on myself. So I say all that to say, I walk in yesterday, it was about 8:45. And one of the girls, as I walked in, was like, good morning, Brian. Nice to see you made it. And she was like right by the owner's office, which again, it's like, I don't really have to be here by a certain time, but I felt like, that was kind of a bitch move. Like, that's just odd. Like, why'd you do that?
So I went
to sit down, and then all of a sudden, the owner walks out and goes, all right, guys, we need to have a meeting here.
Jeez.
And I was like, what is going on? And he goes into this whole diatribe about, now I know I've been very flexible about people coming in and when they come in and what times, and everybody's coming in a little bit late here and there. But And I'll leave it open like that. But I'm from now on, Sylvia is going to be watching the time. And whatever time you come in late, you have to come in and make it up on Saturday morning.
Yeah, like it's the Breakfast Club.
And my smoke started coming out of my ears because I'm thinking, dude, how many times have I showed up at 8:35 and I stayed till 5:40? Like, you're making out on that. And I'll call out my coworkers for a quick minute here. Several of them create a vapor trail at 5 o'clock. You know what I mean? Like, they are bag in hand, coat on, heading
for
the door.
That's right. Nobody packs 4 hours of work into a 9.5 hour day like you do.
Right. So, if it's about time, if that's what you're really worried about, like, I was, like, sitting there, smoke billowing out of the ears. And I'm not trying to insinuate that I work harder than anybody. I don't. But if the issue is time, with regard to me, it should not be an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So I say, and I kind of put a little tone into it. I'm like, okay, well, what if you are someone who stays till 5:30 or 6 o'clock? Can that time then be subtracted from the time you're late? He's like, nope, nope. It's about when you get here and you're ready to go and go. So I'm fuming. About 15 seconds later, they go, ah, got you, April 1st. And I'm thinking to myself, April Fools.
April 1st.
April 1st. And they're like, April Fools. And I was like, oh, my God. I could have easily have blown up. Like, I was already giving attitude. I was already walking back towards my desk because I was just like, what in the hell? I was so pissed off, and I'm thinking to myself, like, so everybody thinks this is a great joke, and they all walk away. And then one of the girls who I know well, I went up to him, I was like, that was a horrible idea for a joke, because what could have easily happened is I could have easily sounded off and been like, or just been like, well, all right, that's fine, and I'll obey that rule, but I think it's total BS. And, like, I could have done something.
Smart off to your boss, right.
Well, and I could have reacted, and then their thing would have been like, oh, we're just joking. But the problem is my reaction clearly would not have been a joke, and now it's a situation. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to think through the joke. Like, you want to have this fun, happy office space, and that's great. But if you don't think through the jokes that you're diving in on,
yeah, now he's just joked about the time you show up, too. So it's like, how do you police that going forward?
Exactly.
You just turned it into a laughable moment.
Right, exactly. And then it kind of leaves you going, like, part of me is like, okay, is it an issue? Is it an issue? Is it a laughable moment? What's going on here? But at the same point, it was like, oh, so here's all of this fallout over what was a joke. And I'm just like, you got to think it through. You know,
Yeah, and I don't. I heard somebody in my office be like, you know, one of the hot little sales women was like, I don't. I'm not much of a jokester. I just didn't do any of that today. And I thought to myself, like, whatever, lighten up. And then I thought, like, yeah, I guess I don't really do that kind of crap either.
Yeah, and
there's two types of people. Like you said, there's a horse person and a cat person. There are people that were built for doing practical jokes, and then there's the rest of us.
Right.
We're just the victims of practical jokers.
Right. And I'm not really one who thinks about it. Now, on that note of someone who thinks about it
and truly excels as a practical joker,
though, does consistently miss out on the third step.
The ramifications and repercussions step.
Yes. This is the most famous story that I know of this, that I have a personal relationship to with this person. A buddy of ours from high school, we'll just leave it at that.
Yes, his code name is Henchman.
The Henchman. The Henchman a
does
couple
he like
years
that,
ago.
By the way?
I think he does.
Yeah, that's got to engorge him to some level, that somebody calls him the Henchman.
Yeah, the Henchman.
He's been called a great many things in his life, and probably most
the
of them were not
is the
flattering.
Best.
Yeah.
So a couple years ago, the Henchman decided he was going to play a joke on his wife. Now,
yeah, that could break bad.
He knew the joke. He did the first two steps. He decided what the joke was going to be, number one. And number two, he decided how to execute it. Number three, he did not determine what would be possible outcomes.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The story I'm about to tell, everything actually happened. And I say that because sometimes when I go and tell the story, like, oh, no. Well, they didn't call back. That didn't happen. It's like, no, everything I'm about to tell you
happened. For once, you're not embellishing. You're not BSing.
So
all of this really happened.
Couple of years ago, he decides, I'm going to play a practical joke on my wife. She is sitting inside the house. Their oldest child has gone to school. The two youngest boys aren't of school age just yet, and they're at home. The youngest boy is upstairs napping. The middle-aged child is sitting next to her on the couch. Okay. The phone starts to ring.
Yeah.
Okay. Her cell phone. She picks it up and she sees this number. It's their home number. And she goes to the son. She goes, Brendan, she goes, sit up. And starts lifting up the couch cushions, thinking the child sat on the phone, dial, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, she picks up the phone and there's this voice on the other end of the line. Now, 2 days prior, they had put like a hutch or something on sale on Craigslist and they got a scam call about it.
Oh.
And Chrissy handed the phone over to the henchman, and the henchman kind of talked to the guy for a little bit.
This
and
is
then
the
all
Craigslist
of a sudden,
call. The
yes.
Craigslist call.
Talked to the Craigslist caller and then hung up the phone.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy tried to scam them via email. The henchman caught on to it, sent a message back to him and said, hey, we get the scam. You can just keep it and forget it and go elsewhere, whatever. And it was kind of more curt than that, but he just, whatever.
Sure.
So with that in the back of her mind, she hears this other voice on the phone. It's this garbled voice. And it goes, hi, you don't know me, but I called you the other day about that hutch for sale.
But it's like garbled.
It was just kind of this garbled male voice.
Yeah.
It's like, I talked to you the other day and about the hutch that you had for sale, and I don't like the way that you were talking to me. And I'm inside your house.
What?
So she panics, understandably, grabs, now this is like December, snowy, ice cold. She grabs the middle child, goes running out of the house with the middle child, sticks him in the snow to go back upstairs to get the child that's napping.
So she takes, like in a fire, when you think how you would handle a fire, you take some things out, then you run back into the house.
Well, and you know, with her thinking, if there is a predator inside your home, if you're in her situation and Dom's upstairs and Jack's next to you, you're going to take Jack outside and then go get Dom. Running up to the guy who could possibly grab Dom with Jack is going to do you no good. So she goes outside with the middle-aged kid. And by middle-aged, I mean he's like four.
Middle-aged.
The middle child. Middle child. So she sticks the middle child in the snowbank. He's like, stay here. Well, the kid can sense the mom is scared. So he doesn't want to leave the mother. He's screaming. He's crying. He won't let go of her. She's like, no, mom needs you. Stay right here. She will not let go of him. He's like in terror. So she runs to the house across the street, banging on the door, wants someone to come help her. No answer. She has to go down two or three doors because no one's around. It's the middle of the day. People are shopping or people are at work or what have you.
Oh, my God. Panicking like Jamie Lee Curtis running away from Michael Myers trying to find an open house.
While she is running, the phone rings again. She looks down. She sees it's the henchman. But she knows the henchman's at work and he can't do her any help.
Her husband, yes.
Her husband, the henchman.
Yes.
So she goes to the next,
ignores the call.
She goes to the next houses, and now she's calling call 911. Well, understandably, she ignores the call. Like, he can't do anything.
Yeah,
she knows
he's
in Chicago.
She's like, oh, him.
Yeah. So she runs, as she's running around, she picks up the phone with as she's got the child in her arms, looking to find someone to take this kid, calls 911, hey, there's someone inside my house with my child.
Oh, my
blah,
God.
Blah, blah. Well, as she gets, the cops must have been right around the corner. As she gets, finally a door opens up and she just shoves the child in the neighbor's arms, like, hold my child. Like, there's just no time to explain, panic. Take my child. And she goes running back towards the house.
Oh, my God, to confront a home invader.
Yes.
Oh,
my God. The cops go in there. Multiple squad cars pull up, going around the back of the house, the side of the house. They bust into the house. As she runs up to the driveway, they come out with the two-year-old, like Ellie and Gonzalez, guns drawn.
Oh, Jesus.
The kid's, like, stirred from this nap. she's handing the cop hands
the baby to her,
and then the phone rings again. It's her husband, the henchman. She picks up and she's like, "Oh my god, oh my god, you're not gonna believe this. This was a nightmare. They're the guy who called over the weekend. He's inside the house and he was in there with Brenda, but now the cops got..." Like, she's going through this frantic story. The whole time the henchman is yelling at her, yelling at his wife, like, "Hey, listen, listen, and then finally he gets it out.
Oh, Jesus.
"It was me. I knew it was a bad decision as soon as you hung up the phone, but my friend at work has this app that alters the origination of the phone call and the voice.
Oh, my God.
I knew I made a mistake as soon as you hung up the phone."
Oh, no.
So she's looking around and she sees police all over this house.
Jeez.
So she goes walking into the house and they hear there's a cop and he's just outside the basement door. And he goes, "There's something in the basement. I hear something in the basement, something in the basement." And she goes, she yells out. She goes, "No, no, the call came from my husband. The call was my husband." And the guy who was outside the basement door goes, "It's her ex-husband. It's her ex-husband." She's like, "No, not my ex-husband. Not my ex-husband. It was my husband that called. He was playing a practical joke."
Oh, my God.
Well, the police were like, "You get him on the phone right now." And I guess his township where he lives in kind of hung him out to dry for a couple of days and let him sweat.
Like, you know, were going to charge him with a crime.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah. Now,
like, charge him like with a bill for the cops.
Exactly.
And stuff. Oh, my God.
Now, they didn't. Everything ended well. But the best part of the story is the guy who had the phone with the app on it just looks at the henchman after all this went down and went, "Well, I guess we didn't think this one all the way through, did we?" Like, go into the... That goes, like, into the understatement hall of fame.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. The house was crawling with cops. Guns out, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Someone could have been shot.
Yes.
They could have shot one of themselves. It could have gone way worse than it actually did.
So you think, like, that's the... And this guy's good. The henchman is good at practical jokes.
Did that cure him for a while? Did he stop his practical jokes for a while?
And he hasn't been as grand.
Did he ever admit, like, "Now I think it through. I try to think of all the angles now."
Well, no. I mean, that was the largest part for him was like, "Oh my god, yeah, I did not think that through." So he's still, I mean, he's still one of the top dogs when it comes to practical jokes.
Oh my
but
god!
But now it's of a softer nature.
So what happened? Like, his old lady, how pissed was she at him?
She was.
Did he have to sleep on the couch for a couple of days?
I think she was for a few days, but I think she's really come to enjoy the story now because universally...
It's a good story.
Universally, I tell this story. Men are... They kind of think it's funny, but women outright hear the story and they want to lynch the henchman. They hate him for it. And I think his wife feels good when she's like, "Yep." Whenever that story busts out and he sees the negative reaction from all the ladies who are like, "I would have left you. I would have taken the home and the kids." I think she's like, there's just that, like, she knows over the course of a lifetime, she's going to get more out of that story as women react negatively towards the henchman than if it hadn't happened.
Yeah, he really came close to messing everything up. It's amazing he got her in the first place, frankly. And to risk messing it up.
Risking it all.
Yeah, I think you
got to... That's step number three.
Yeah.
It's more important than number one and two.
It's really... But he's good. To really take, like, a time-honored... Like, everyone knows the whole, "The call's coming from inside the house."
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows that bit. And he somehow still pulled it off.
Pulled it off.
Either his old lady's dim, or he's really that good.
Dude, I'm telling you, what would you do? You can't take that chance if you see a number from inside the home.
So did he plan the Craigslist caller? Was that part of this
ruse? No, yeah, the Craigslist caller was real because I asked him. Craigslist caller was real. And then
talk about taking lemons and making lemonade.
He thought, "Oh, I could do something with that Craigslist caller."
That's really, really, really bravo. Diabolical yeah. is right. That makes Corn Hub look so stupid.
I know.
Although Slob on the Cob is definitely a video
right.
you're going to watch with me.
Did you just leave Corn Hub?
Corn Hub, like, it's so the writers of Porn Hub, they literally couldn't even make it through one homepage of video titles without slipping into their old ways. I see at the bottom of the page, she goes crazy for his salty taste.
Oh,
even if it's a picture of corn, that's just they couldn't even resist.
They're professionals.
In need of a hard shucking.
All
Is that a video you'll watch
no,
with me?
Let's just. I think we just need to end the show and go our separate
ways. Watch as he butters it up.
Oh, come on!
You watching that?
Would you just unplug that thing?